Psalm 23, starting at 1, verses 1 through 6. And when you have it, say amen. Amen. And there you find these words on the count of three. Let us read together. 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Father God, we love you and we thank you for your goodness and your kindness, for allowing us to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ on this blessed first Sunday. I pray now, God, as we honor you with the observation of the Lord's Supper and honor you with the presentation of your word, that you allow us to be sensitive to your word on today, to hear exactly what you want us to know, to take that word and apply it to our everyday lives. Let it be a light and a lamp, dear God, that it leads us and directs us through the trials and tribulations and transitions in life. God, dip me into thy riches, saturate me, allow the Holy Spirit to speak on my behalf. We thank you, dear God, that it's not about us presenting, but it's about you speaking through dust, earthen vessels. Allow us to hear your voice. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us. Speak to us today. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. And all who agree with that prayer said together, amen. Amen. Once again, let us put our hands together and just bless God and thank him for allowing us to be alive and well in his house of worship. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A few weeks ago, when we started this series of Psalm 23, we started with verse number 1, and we dealt with the theme of divine assurance. It was there that we focused our attention on making sure that we were in remembrance that God is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The following week, we dealt with divine alignment, which helped us to understand the importance not only in being in Christ and not only of being in church, but being in the right place, in the right alignment, on the right road in which God has instructed us to be on. We then heard from the sermonic theme of divine ascension, because when I'm in the right alignment, then he can trust me to start ascending me to new levels in life. The fourth week, we talked about divine addition. When he has taken me to a new place, and I'm walking according to his will and his way, it is at that point he can trust me with addition. And on this morning, as we conclude Psalm 23, I want to speak from the subject of divine appointment. Let the church say appointment. When we look at this passage of scripture, we walk through these four verses, and now we get to verse 5 and 6. And we realize that the shepherd is not an individual who herds cattle, but he's an individual who leads sheep. In his leading of sheep, he's taking them on a journey that sometimes the sheep doesn't know the places that he or she may be traveling. The shepherd knows exactly where he's going all the time. The shepherd never needs a navigation system or a GPS because he knows where he's going. And when you and I are born again, believers in Christ, we begin to realize that our ultimate destiny is what God has already prepared. It is to rest eternally with him. Our ultimate destiny is for all of us to be heaven bound. I thought I'd get a better amen right there. There are other options, but our ultimate destiny as born again believers is to become, to be heaven bound. The challenges then that you and I begin to face is when we follow a shepherd who only gives us information on need to know basis. And so it's very challenging when I'm following God and I'm trying to hear from God, and sometimes God is silent. Let the church say amen. Amen. Along that path of me following the shepherd, the good shepherd, he sometimes enters into a season of silence, and it's almost in connection that the minute he stops talking is when I begin to see challenges in my life. What he's trying to figure out then is, will I follow him and the words that he spake in the past because he wants me to stay on track? One of the challenges that we have as a body of believers and followers of Christ is that we want to hear from God every day about everything in our lives. God has already spoken, and the church should just say amen. When the Lord has spoken, he wants you to search the riches of his word, and there you will find direction and instruction for the challenges of life. And so sometimes when God is not speaking, it's because he's saying, I've already given you the answer. You just need to get it out of his word. It is here now, when I look at this appointment and I understand what an appointment is, that in verse number 5, one of the things that I see in the appointment, I always have an appointment with adversaries. Most of us like to have appointments with friends, and most of us like to hang out with good people and acquaintances and constituents, but very seldom do we want to hang out with enemies or adversaries. But God is saying, in order for you to get to the place where you engage and salute the fullness of my glory, I have to take you through challenges, seen and unseen, and I have to present you with friends and adversaries so you will know who's in charge at the end of the day. He says, the divine appointment, I have a first appointment with my adversary. Look at what he says. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So many times we hear people asking God to take away our enemies. But it's in reality that we need our enemies to help shape us to understand the goodness of God. We need adversaries. We need haters. We need people who are trying to dig ditches. We need people who are trying to become stumbling blocks. We need people who don't want to see us blessed. We need people who are trying to keep us down. We need people who are trying to cut us off from what God has for us, that we can celebrate God when God delivers and shows up anyway. He prepares a table, which means I can never get too high, neither can I get too low, neither should I become stuck up in sadiddy, neither should I become a bag of chips and all of that. I should take life and be balanced and walk with ease, because some days I'm going to be in the presence of friends and others I may be in the presence of enemies. He prepares a table before me, which means he sits down and he takes time. And not only does he invite me to the table, but he also invites my enemies. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It's there that if I know how to deal with my friends, I can better learn how to deal with friends and ever in adverse situations when I have to try to go through and deal with my enemies. You know the problem with so many church folk, not you, but your cousins at other churches, is they don't want to go through any challenges. And so their faith is so weak and their understanding of God is so weak. And they need you to pray for them about everything. And they need you to lay hands about them on everything. And they need counseling for everything. And we have to develop where we have to learn how to lay hands on ourselves and learn how to pray for ourselves and learn how to encourage ourselves. But we must be willing to go through things that we can have a testimony that if God brought me out of that, he'll bring me out of this. Look at your neighbors, tell him he's in the blessing business. He will bring us, but sometimes he has to put us in uncomfortable situations so we can learn how to be comfortable with God. The peace of God. That's why he introduces me to enemies. He wants me to understand that my enemy is really not my enemy, but my enemy is Satan. And the thing that defeats Satan, S-A-T-A-N, is the Son, S-O-N. And if I always commit myself to do what the Son says, then I can always defeat Satan. Are y'all gonna pray with me? But there are times that I have to be in Satan's in his proximity in order for me to feel and know just how dangerous he is, that I can make sure I don't travel down that street I used to. You know, some of y'all just be sitting there when I be preaching. You can't say amen. But if we could go back down memory lane when you was a teenager. And when you was in your terrible 20s, and when you was in your terrible 30s, and when you was in your crazy 40s, and now you sitting up here all prim and priss like a peacock just saying, I've always been saved. Look, all of us in here got a past. And it's only by the grace of God that I am where I am. And he has erased things from my past. And he has taken my sin and thrown them into the depths of the sea. Are y'all going to pray with me here? It's all right to say amen when you know I'm telling the truth. God done brought us from a mighty long way. He done took things out of our appetites that we used to have. He done took stuff from the cravings that we used to have. And now he's using us as human testimonies that if he could do it for me, then he can do it for you. He has an appointment where he brings me to the table, where I now have to act as a human being with great humility. Yes. Yes. Because I know that my enemy is sitting at the table. But it's through adversary that he brings me to another appointment. The appointment now is in verse 5, clause B. He brings me into the appointment of anointing and my abundance. He says he anoints my head with oil. The shame in the Hebrew, which means to be fat, to be full, to be satisfied. He anoints me. He covers me. He saturates me with oil. It means for me to glow in dark places. For my light to shine when it shouldn't shine. For me to be calm when everybody else is being tense. For me to be satisfied when everybody else is in famine. He anoints me, but then in the process of him anointing me, he gives me abundance. He allows my cup to run over. You know what kills me with Christian folk? And sometimes Christian folk, not you, your cousins at the other church, right? Move in life and they are in a place where their cup is running over. And they want to act like they've always been there all their life. They will pass by you and act like you don't even live. Will look at you down their noses. And will go get in their nice vehicles and dress in their nice clothes. Because their cup is running over. And don't forget the day when they were robbing Peter to pay Paul. Oh, Lord, y'all don't like me today. And we're going through transition in order to get to triumph. God says, with me, your cup is always running over. Now watch this. The people I was talking about in the past were those who think cup is running over when their finances are right. But I've discovered that there are people who finances might be right, but their minds are all wrong. They can buy Pastor Peter's Sealy beds and sleep beds numbered. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? But can't even go to sleep at night. They can buy Rolexes and Mavados and Omega watches and can't even tell what time it is. They can live in the best homes and live in the best gated communities and can't even feel safe because they are not where God wants them to be. But last time I checked, I could be broke but rich with God. I could be by myself and have a whole lot of friends with God. I can be out, but I can be in with God, because when God anoints me and my cup run it over, I don't need anybody to say amen or co-sign it. I can just look up and say, God, thank you for making sure my cup is running over. He has an appointment where he brings me into the company of my adversaries. Then I have another appointment where I'm dealing with my anointing and my abundance. My brothers and sisters, all God wants to do in our life is to get us to flow in our anointing. Do what God called you to do. Don't flow where you're not supposed to flow. Get out of the way if you know that's not where you're supposed to be. Tell folk you made a mistake and get back to where God wants you to be. Because it's only then when you can maximize your purpose and all of your efforts in life, when you are flowing in the anointing of what God has called you to do. You will never experience happiness or joy to the fullest until you're doing what God has called you to do. Yes. Amen, amen, amen. It's in God's place where he wants to pour out his anointing on you. And when you're anointed of God, then you can flow in the abundance of what God has for you. You know, I love preaching. And you can wake me up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I can get up and preach what I would call a good sermon. And I can do it with ease. Don't even have to sweat. Don't even have to holler. Can whisper in the mic and it's a good sermon. Because I'm following a structure of what a good sermon should entail. But there's a difference between a good sermon and a God sermon. That's the place where it don't become easy anymore. I'm not following a format, but I'm hearing from God in one ear. And then I'm hearing from the people of God in the other ear. And then God feeds me from manna on high. And then I have to stand and say what he says. Where I say it, where an 8-year-old can take it and is palatable to him. And he's sitting next to his great-great-grandmother who's 90 years old. And she can take it and is palatable to her. And that's where it doesn't become easy. But when you're flowing your anointing, you can make hard stuff look easy. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. Only at church do a GED sit next to a PhD and you have to preach to them right where they are. Only in church do you preach the word to those who are broke, to those who are operating in a period of abundance. Only in church will you have to preach a word that will bring people together who sometimes would not even cross paths. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. And it's when the word of God is being fed to the man of God, and then he preaches the word of God exactly how God has said it, and it moves from good preaching, good sermon, to a godly sermon. That's hard. But when you're operating in your anointing, Some of you can look at a math problem and I might say, that's okay. And you'll walk up and say, oh, that's easy, blah, blah, blah. That's when you're operating in your anointing. Some of you have the gift of being a diffuser wherever there's challenges and trials and tribulations and tensions. You can come in and speak a soft word and diffuse it. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? God has anointed us and gifted us with a multiplicity of gifts that are represented here today. And all of those gifts are needed for this ministry to not only be a good ministry, but a godly ministry and operate in excellence. God says to us on today, I don't need you just to have assurance, alignment, ascension, and addition. I need you to have appointments. I need your anointing to start to ooze and flow where it will make an impact to the major body of Christ. Amen, amen, amen. So my cup runneth over, which means to be saturated by God's provision and his direction and operating in his providence. But in verse number 6, as we rush to a close, verse number 6, he says to us that surely, amen, amen, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I also have an appointment in verse number 6 with my assignment. I have an assignment, an appointment, watch this, with goodness and mercy. If you look at that in the Hebrew, you will understand that those words, goodness and mercy, are actually connected together. It's basically an inseparable twin. God says, when you understand where it come from, you then have access to it. See, the assignment is so settled with God that not only do I have a meeting place, but once I meet with goodness and mercy, it will become so connected with me that it will follow me. Now, I do realize that you don't always want God to know where you are. But God loves you so much. Even in our folly, that he assigns us goodness and mercy. Even when we don't want to be want God to know where we are, he still assigns us goodness and mercy. And is constantly following us to make sure that nothing can catch us off guard. In counseling, I remember counseling a couple of many years ago. And this lady had got pregnant. They got married about 18, 19, and she was in school. And he was trying to follow his career. And she dropped out of school and got a job full time. And she worked almost 2 jobs to help him get to that next place. Now he's into his career. And now she just wants to go back and get her nursing degree. And here we are counseling. And she's saying, Pastor, I just want him to have my back like I had here. You ain't got to say amen. I know I'm talking to somebody. All I want him to do, Pastor, is, and she was crying, and she was crying, and I'm just looking at the brother, and with one sentence, he could have killed the whole counseling session by saying, baby, go back to school, and I'm going to pay. He didn't understand how important it was when people can feel that you just have their backs. Am I talking to anybody in here? Do you know how free you are when you know somebody got your back? Do you know I never worry about anything because I know this sister here got my back and she know I got hers. And you know, it's just you just live a little bit better when you know somebody has your back. God is saying if you are feeling as though that you don't have anybody, God says, I made up in the area of lack where God himself has assigned goodness on one hand and mercy on the other to chart you, to watch you when you're going through these mundane chores, when you're walking through God's green pastures. He got our back. It may get rough sometimes. You may have to relocate. You may have to turn in the keys on your car. They may have to put your stuff out on the street. It's all right. As long as you're still alive, God has given you another chance, and you still got goodness and mercy behind you. But then lastly and finally, he says this. Verse 6, clause B. He says, then I have an appointment with the Almighty.
Yes, sir.
Lord, have mercy. I almost cried right there. With the Almighty. I will live with him forever. We living in all these beautiful homes in Denver, and we brag about all our stuff. But one day, I will live with him forever. I got an okay house, but one day, I will dwell not in my house, but in the house of the Lord forever. It's something about being in God's house. It's something. There were times when I would come to church and I didn't feel like being at church. But you didn't want anybody to ask where you were. You didn't want the deacons to say you wasn't on your post, or the choir members to say you missed a day, and you would press your way. Didn't feel like it. Didn't have an opportunity to go to the hairdresser, and you pull that hair back in the ponytail and pin it up and make it do what it do. You ain't feel like putting on a suit. You just throw some jeans and stuff, and you come on in, and church is the furthest thing from your mind. But you made it here. Lord have mercy. It's something strange that happens in God's house that we cannot reproduce in any other house. It's something strange when the prayers are offered up, and when the ushers and greeters are smiling you saying good morning, and when deacons shake your hand with a firm handshake and say it's good to see you. Watch this. In the Lord's house. You didn't even want praise. You sit there with your arms folded, and then Mario begins to play something, and you don't even want to shout, but your foot get to tapping, and before you know it, your head get to bobbing, and before you know it, you're smiling at somebody else. Before you know it, you're standing on your feet. You're clapping with the music. That's something that can only happen at the Lord's house. See, David has said this on several occasions. He loves looking towards what happens in the Lord's house. In Psalm 61 and 4, he says, I will abide in the tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of his wings. Psalms 122 and 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. In Psalms 23 and 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's something special about God's house. It's something special that goes on when you come in and bring your lift fire. And then fire catch out somewhere else. And then all of the fire comes together. And it is amazing how it looks when God's house is on fire. My brothers and sisters, there's something that God wants to happen in this place that cannot be manufactured, that cannot be reshaped anywhere else. Pastor Jones preached an amazing word on yesterday. That we ought to praise God last week and worship God. Not only outside, but when we get to his house. That we ought to be able to audibly say, thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. That you can say, hallelujah, because you healed my body. That you can say, glory to God, because you've done something great in my life. My brothers and sisters, this is what the psalmist is saying to us on the day. He said, we have an appointment sometimes with adversaries. We have an appointment with anointing. We have an appointment with abundance.
Yes.
But then we have an appointment with the Almighty.
Yes.
My brothers and sisters, God is saying, I want you to get connected with me.
Yes.
Not just on the other side, but I want you to get connected with me right now.
Yes.
There are great things that he wants to do in your life.
Yes.
And he's saying, I need my sheep to remain as sheep. And I need you to hold me up as your shepherd.
Yes.
And it's then and only then that we can begin to change lives one by one.
Yes.
Change communities one by one.
Yes.
Alter destinies one by one.
Yes.
When we all come together at the Lord's house. Do you receive that word on today? Let us put our hands together. Let us stand up all over the auditorium as we extend two invitations to you on today. Invitation number one is an invitation to the body of Christ.